Three down, two to go. This is the meeting of the Finance, Facilities, and Operations Committee, and I would like to ask if the roll could be called, please.
Yes. Trustee Robert Boyd?
You don't know me by now.
You're here.
I'm here.
Trustee Wheeler Coleman?
Here.
Trustee Robert Marshall?
Here.
Trustee Sherilyn Muir?
Here.
Trustee Tim Struthers? Board Chair Mark Strauss.
Here.
And Committee Chair John Butler.
Here.
Thank you.
Mr. Blakemore, can you verify that appropriate notification of the meeting has been posted and that we have a quorum?
Yes and yes.
Thank you. We now have before us an agenda, which I don't believe requires any changes. Is there an interest in approving that agenda?
I move to approve the agenda.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
There's a second. Is there any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, the agenda is approved. We have minutes from the November 12th, 2015 meeting. They are before you. May I have a motion to approve them?
So moved.
There's a motion. Is there a second? I hear a second. Is there any discussion? In that case, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, the minutes are approved. This is an opportunity for us to invite the University Advisory Council, committee members to address the committee. You're welcome to, in any order you wish.
Thanks again for the opportunity to address the Board of Trustees. On this, I would just like to say first, thank you for supporting the sabbatical requests. As a faculty member, that really was important. I appreciate that as a board you supported that. And also as another piece of good news, I'd like to offer a thanks to the president and provost office. Within shared governance, one of the issues we faced is that as faculty senate president, I get lots of support, release time, clerical support, but my colleagues in the operating staff council and SPS council have historically not received any release time, clerical support, so on and so forth. So we did collaborate and put forth a proposal to the president provost office, and we will be beginning to have some release time available for the operating staff and SPS council presidents, as well as full-time clerical support, which for us will be very helpful to facilitate shared governance. And I just mentioned that as a thank you to the university for allowing our respective councils to have the support to and be more equitable. So I appreciate that very much. In addition, would say that, and this comes as no surprise to you, certainly, but faculty and staff morale is probably as low as I've ever seen it in my 26 years here on campus, and it's largely due to budget. It's largely due to the uncertainty of things, and it does have an impact on our recruitment and retention of faculty members as well as students, certainly has impact for, governance. So we're trying to deal with that with a lot more communication, transparency. Would again thank the administration with regard to the resource space and budget committee. We've seen much more transparency and communication with them than we've had in the past. We're going in good directions there, and that level of communication also helps us deal with rumor control, because right now, given the anxiety, the morale, the concerns that people have, rumors are flying all the time. And so for us to be able to have access to get the facts and hopefully dispel those rumors have been very helpful. So I would just ask that we continue working as collaboratively as we have and keep sharing.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Good afternoon. Holly Nicholson, President, Operating Staff Council. I want to echo my thanks as well for the support for council presidents. I think it's going to help us recruit high-quality leaders in our councils, so I very much appreciate it. On behalf of the operating staff, I would also like to commend the leadership of Vice President Phillips, Provost Freeman, President Baker, and with your oversight, as a Board of Trustees, which has allowed us to continue to operate with confidence while facing not only enrollment challenges, but also a state budget crisis. I want to commend also the extraordinary sacrifices made by NIU faculty and staff, which include wages, travel, other types of limited expenditures, and taking on additional duties when their colleagues leave and are not replaced. Yet despite these sacrifices, our students are still happy here. Retention rates are rising, and our mission is still being carried out. So I'm very thankful to work with people who are so willing to put the greater good above their own personal working conditions, and for leadership who is determined to work transparently to preserve our jobs and services to students. While peer institutions are facing layoffs and even possible closure, the comfort of knowing that we'll not be facing that in the near future is invaluable. The current state we're in is not sustainable, however, and I'm looking forward to returning to more sustainable maintenance, staffing, and compensation levels, which will be informed by data and program prioritization recommendations when we're finally given a budget. It is then that NIU will really flourish. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comments.
Good job. I don't have any other comments other than to concur with what they have said. I think that...
Rebecca Shortridge and I'm in the accountancy department. Faculty are anxious, and I agree with Greg that the transparency of resource space and budgets has been a big addition at comforting and allaying people's fears in the various departments that I'm involved with and that I talk to people in. And so I appreciate that transparency coming from that committee and from Al in particular. So thank you for that.
Thank you very much. Any questions from the committee members to the UAC representatives? Thank you for the substantive comments. I appreciate very much your presence here and your participation. I don't wish to use much time on my own comments, so I won't. We'll move right to the agenda. But first, I need to ask if there is any interest on the part of the public to speak.
I have not received any requests for public participation or public announcements or speaking.
Thank you very much. So this is the point in the meeting where we move to the university recommendations, and I typically like to turn the floor over to the committee liaison, Dr. Alan Phillips.
Thank you, Chair. Item 7A. Approval of Fermilab CRADA. The university has been exploring collaborative partnership with Fermi, National Accelerate Facility, to develop a joint program in accelerator science with emphasis on research, instruction, and student development. The program supported by this agreement will distinguish NIU as an international leader in accelerator physics and education. And the recommendation is that the university or the Board of Trustees provide approval to enter into a collaborative research and development agreement, or the CRADA, with Fermi National Laboratory for the development of a joint program in accelerator science research and education.
May I have a motion to that effect? There's a motion. I see Trustee Marshall seconding the motion. Is there discussion on the item? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, the motion's passed.
Originally, item 7B was addressed at the ad hoc committee, and so we move on to item 7C, FY17 Architectural Engineering Physical Plant Open Order Contract Renewals. We request permission to issue open orders for labor and materials required for FY17 for electrical contractors, a general contractor, and an excavation road parking lot contractor. Elliot Wood has been added to the open order renewal request this year due to anticipated projects that required additional contracting ability. As a result, the amount approved for FY16 was $1.625 million. This year, the request is for $2.025 million, and I believe Elliot Wood does excavating road and parking work. The university requests Board of Trustees approve the expenditure authority as listed in the amount of $2,025,000.
May I have a motion to that effect? There's a motion. There's a second. Is there any discussion of this item? Trustee Strauss.
Request a roll call vote on this.
Trustee Strauss wishes to have a roll call on this. Is there any other discussion? Seeing none, can we take the roll call, please?
Trustee Robert Boyd?
Yes.
Trustee Wheeler Coleman?
Yes.
Trustee Sherilyn Muir?
Yes.
Trustee Tim Struthers?
Abstain.
Trustee Robert Marshall?
Yes.
Board Chair Mark Strauss?
Abstain.
Committee Chair John Butler?
Yes. I believe the motion's passed. We can move to the next item. Thank you.
Item 7D, Document Services Campus Copier Program Contract Renewal. We request permission to issue an order for renewal of campus copier program consisting of approximately 325 copiers of various configurations. The annual volume of copies is approximately 20 million. The program is provided under a rental agreement based on a flat rate per copy charge, which includes all equipment, toner, and maintenance. This is the fourth year of 9 one-year renewal options, and the recommendation is that the Board of Trustees approve the expenditure authority for Gordon Flesh of Geneva, Illinois, to the in the amount of $1 million, which is the same amount that was approved last year.
The motion has been stated. Is there a motion from a member of the committee? There's a motion and a second. Is there discussion of this item?
I got a discussion item.
Oh, yes.
So we did a nine-year agreement. Are we replacing the equipment during this nine-year period or not?
I will defer to Vice President Coriel.
Good afternoon. Thanks for the question. Yes, we continually replace the equipment. The equipment is leased, and as it reaches the end of its life cycle, it's replaced by the vendor at no cost.
What, every 2, 3 years, 4 years?
It's as needed. I'm not sure there's a regular cycle.
I was just wondering, are we running the equipment hot for 9 years? But obviously, we're cycling it out.
Yes, we are.
Okay, good. And oh, by the way, you look good in your purple.
Thank you very much.
Right. That's an inside joke, don't you know.
we all understand the joke. Someone will explain it.
Or not.
Or not. Thank you. Are there other interests in speaking on this item? Trustee Marshall.
Repair services during the contract?
Correct, I believe. The lease includes repair and replacement of copy machines as they wear out or break down. That's correct.
Okay. All right, then. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, the motion passes.
Agenda item 7E, physical plant elevator service and maintenance open order contract renewal. We request permission to renew an open order for elevator service repair technicians on an as-required basis for FY17. We have 107 lifts and elevators which require continual repair and maintenance in order to maintain university facility safety standards. I will say that elevator repair technicians are very, very difficult to find and retain. I think at one point in time we had two on staff. I don't think we have any now. We have one on staff, and so as you know, many of our elevators are in various levels of condition, and so we are asking that the board approve the expenditure of $325,000 for contracting service to help us maintain our elevators in operating condition.
That's the motion. Anyone wish to own it? Mark Strauss has made the motion. A second. Sherilyn Muir has seconded the motion. Is there any discussion? No one wants to talk about elevators? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? The motion passes. Thank you.
Agenda item 7F, International Program Division Expenditures. The International Programs Division is given an annual authorization for expenditures for foreign study programs. All expenditures are made from payments received from approximately the 600 students expected to enroll in these programs. Although the amount of authorization needed for specific programs is unpredictable, this number is based on past experience. The university requests the Board of Trustees approve the expenditure authority of $3 million for FY17, which is consistent with the amount that was requested in 16.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
A There's a motion. Is there a second? There's a second. Is there any discussion on this item? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, the motion passes.
Item 7G, we passed out an update to this item. Actually, earlier today, we received actual contract numbers, and the numbers have changed for this item from $4.1 million to $4.15 million. This is the bus contract or the Student Mass Transit Board requests permission to issue an order. The student bus fee supports this contract. This is the third year of a four-year renewal option. This year, the amount is increased by $50,000. We're requesting approval of that amount.
Is there a motion? There's a motion. Is there a second? There's a second. Is there any discussion on this item? Trustee Struthers.
A question, I suppose, and it would really relate to all of these, that obviously a fair amount of assessment has gone into the work leading up to the recommendations. This one here is a large number and surely captures our attention. So as you cite the fourth year and a five-year renewal option contract, we do have the option to get out, obviously, by the terms of renewal, it sounds. So I'm curious as to the degree of evaluation we've done with alternative vendors at this point in the midst of 4 years and a five-year contract. Have we evaluated alternative options at this stage in this fourth year and five-year contract?
We have evaluated, or we do evaluate options. We work. This is largely a contract that is administered by the students who've entered into this agreement. We have been in discussions with them, and since this is, as we go forward, we will look into other possibilities or options associated with this. We agree this is a large number. We feel that there may be opportunities to reduce this amount, and we're working with the students to do so.
Great. Thank you.
Are there other questions or comments? Trustee Strauss.
Two quick questions. First, since this is supported by the student fee, we're confident that the student fee would produce the $4,150,000 instead of the $4,100,000.
That is correct.
And second, this is for FY17. So is this a contract that needs to be signed immediately, or is this something where we can grant the authority, but you're going to delay the expenditure until you see whether or not it's required?
In this case, I would say you grant the authority and the contract will be executed at the appropriate time.
Thank you.
Other questions?
I have one.
Discussion items, Trustee Marshall.
Do we have any student surveys that would indicate that perhaps the bus service is an aid to retention?
Say again, please.
Do we have any surveys from the students that would indicate that the service could be a boon to our efforts at retention?
We actually have conversations with the students on a regular basis. I believe we had conversations with them this week. We are consistently working with them to better integrate the Husky line with Transdev, which is the DeKalb bus network. We're looking at better ways to serve students. There are issues with some of the routes, and so we are constantly in discussions with the student who oversees the Husky line to find better ways to serve students, and because this is supported by student fees, and also better connect it with the community so that we get coordination and integration. In some cases, there are underlaps or overlaps, and so we work with them on a continuing basis to improve the bus service to all of our students.
Thank you. Other questions, discussion points? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, the motion passes.
Agenda item 7H, Transportation Services, Physical Plant and Finance Facilities and Operations Motor Fuels. We request permission to purchase 10% ethanol blended regular non-leaded gasoline and B2 2% soy ultra-low sulfur biodiesel and 11% soy ultra-low sulfur biodiesel for use by the Transportation Services, Physical Plant, Finance Facilities and Operations Departments and Grounds Department. Under Illinois statute, universities are required to purchase ethanol-blended gasoline. Therefore, we request the Board of Trustees approve the expenditure of $725,000 for FY17 to meet this state requirement.
Is there a motion? There's a motion by Trustee Muir, a second by Trustee Marshall. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, the motion passes.
Item 7J, fiscal year 2017, multiple departments, non-food, food service-related commodities. Multiple departments on campus utilize open orders for the purchase of miscellaneous non-food, food service-related commodities, napkins, disposable plates, cups, tableware, et cetera. Due to the large volume required, an invitation for bid is being prepared and will be published, and therefore we request the university or the Board of Trustees approve the expenditure of $450,000 for FY17 for this purpose. I will say that if you will notice, this is an increase of 50% from the amount spent last year. That is because this year our outreach centers will also be included, will also be purchasing their products as well through this bid, as will other departments. So this will also now support Hoffman Estates, Naperville, Rockford, where in the past it did not, and that's the result for the increase in expenditure.
Is there a motion? There's a motion to move the item. Is there a second? Motion maker was Trustee Boyd. The second was Trustee Coleman. Is there discussion? Yes, Trustee Muir.
Thank you. Dr. Phillips, I have a question in regards to this. As you're looking at structuring the bid for this, mm-hmm. do you take into consideration, I would hope one would take into consideration, the environmental impact issues related to this? So as you're looking at paper products, are they biodegradable paper products? And does that have any impact on the bid itself?
I do not know. I do know we follow all state procurement regulations, environmental regulations, and so anything that we would procure would be in accordance with environmental statutes and requirements. I can find out
and certainly get back to you.
You
can just tell me offline.
Sure.
But I think even though, and of course I'm sure we follow all of the state procurement regulations, that's without saying, but I think that NIU might want to continue to be very conscious of the environmental impact of things such as this, especially when we're talking about, and I understand why it went up 50%.
Sure.
That was very clear. But the fact is, we, at least for me, I'm very interested to make sure that
sure.
we've taken that into consideration in the bid.
We will, I will look into that, and I will get back to you.
All right, thank you.
Other interest in discussing this item? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Seeing none, the motion passes.
Item 7K, student health insurance. The university provides group health insurance funded by student health insurance fees to students and their families. We anticipate the outcome of this RFP to reduce costs for both the students and the university. FY17 is the initial term for this insurance plan coverage. In addition to the initial term, there will be 5 1-year renewal options to be determined annually at the discretion of the university and the awarded vendor. Renewal rates will change based on claims history for prior years and changes in policy terms. Last year, the amount approved was $12.5 million, and we're requesting the same amount be approved for this year.
Is there a motion to approve this?
So moved.
Trustee Strauss has made a motion. Trustee Marshall has seconded. Is there any interest in discussing the item? Any members of the committee? Trustee Strauss.
Last large item. I also assume that this is not a contract that's going to be awarded until it's required to be awarded for FY17.
That would be correct.
This allows us to go out with an RFP, and then the contract would be based on the RFPs that we receive.
Thank you.
Any other questions, discussion points? Seeing none, all those in favor? Anyone opposed? The motion passes.
Agenda item 7L. That's correct. Treasury Operations Signatory Authority. We request approval for the designation of the signature authority also be granted to the Associate VP for Finance and Budget, the University Controlled Director of Treasury Operations, to be authorized to sign for all Treasury Operations. This is consistent with prior authorizations and add a fourth signer. This is now as a result of having Associate Vice President Pinkleton now in the position as the AVP for Budget and Finance, and gives him the authority also to sign for the Treasury operations.
Is there a motion? There's a motion. Is there a second? There's a second. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? The motion passes.
Item 7M, differential tuition results. And for this item, I will defer to the Executive Vice President and Provost.
As the board may remember, last fiscal year, when we did graduate tuition pricing, we asked the board for latitude to introduce both differential and consolidated graduate tuition. Differential tuition meant that we would add a differential above our regular general program credit hour tuition for graduate programs in the form of additional tuition differential, but really to serve the function in most cases of an excellence fee to support the needs of that program specific to technology, faculty, student experience. And that in addition, we would consolidate tuition and fees for graduate programs such that existing excellence fees would be relabeled as tuition to make it more attractive for employers to sponsor their employees with a tuition benefit. At that time, we had a range of differentials from $30 to $400 based on our market analysis of what various programs could bear. And we promised that we would report to the board in 1 year on our experience. We had a hypothesis at that time that market-appropriate differential tuition would not negatively impact enrollment, but would continue to generate the revenue necessary to support programmatic excellence. Of the programs we brought to you last year, many were new programs. Some of those have not yet been launched. And some of those are in their initial offering. Those are in your table, but obviously it's very hard to infer an effect in a program that's been marketed for 2 months and has very few students and no basis for comparison. If you look on the slide, you can see the differentials for last year, the previous fees, and the enrollments over a three-year period for our established programs with tuition differentials. Many of these are in the College of Business, Accounting, Science, Management, Information Systems, Taxation, and the MBA programs. A couple are in Health and Human Sciences, Audiology, and the MPH online. And if you look at the data here, look at the enrollment trends, look at the differentials that were either introduced or increased over the previous fee structure, I think you would agree with me that the conclusion is that when we have market-appropriate differential tuition, there's no negative impact on enrollment. I can tell you with referencing data that are not particularly on the slide, it does allow us to generate revenue to support programmatic excellence. In the audiology program, where we introduced an $150 differential tuition, we are able this year for the first time to actually update the equipment in those laboratories so that our students have access to what's state-of-the-art in clinical offices for the first time in a long time. Similar types of investments have been made in the software programs that are used in the business programs. You know, when you look at a differential of $400 for our MBA programs, that seems like a lot of money, but then again, I think you have to look at market appropriate. And so this morning, I just did a little bit of my own market research, and the total cost for our executive MBA is $55,000. And again, that sounds like a lot of money, but the total cost for the identical program at Northwestern is $93,645, and the total cost for the identical program at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign is $97,000. So despite having a differential of $400, we're still a very good value for that academic program, and that is our highest differential that was approved. Among the lessons learned from our consolidation and our transition to differential tuition is one that I think we need to be mindful of, and that is that we be proactive in our communications. We did not have a lot of student complaints, to be honest, about this, but we did have a few students who, during the implementation phase, were surprised because we didn't do a good enough job of getting the word out about that. We don't have truth in tuition for graduate students, so a student in the middle of a program cohort could be impacted this way. We will do that better in the future. We were able to allay all student concerns, and in fact, we found scholarship money to help students that were impacted in this way. Because of our desire as we go forward, if we want to use this mechanism to launch new programs, the request you have in front of you today has one new traffic safety certificate, and everything else is identical to last year. If we're thinking of using this to develop new programs, and I think, you know, as we try to continue to remodel our program portfolio, that will be important, we may come to you off cycle with a request for authorization so that we can start addressing student communications as we build a financial model to allow us to develop new programs. But we're not doing anything today except asking you to approve the fees that are the same for this year as they were for last year. And I think I'll stop there, and if there are any questions.
May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
There's a second, and now there's an opportunity for discussion. Trustee Strauss.
I appreciate your candor in talking about some of the challenges and lessons learned, as well as getting the benefit of the report. We were obviously interested in this a year ago, and I'm glad that the results were successful. As we continue to have differential tuition, our knowledge of the competitive marketplace is very important. I was also happy to see that there's some attention being paid to that, but also believe that there are still opportunities, depending on the quality of the programs, to further adjust these. So at least from my personal perspective, I'm not opposed to taking a look at whatever makes sense in this area, and I think having an annual check back is a good idea. I also have no personal problem with taking these on a case-by-case basis if the need arises sooner.
Other comments, questions?
Just general question around the law school. Where is that? Are we doing anything special there?
Yes, the law school is a professional school, so, and it had its established excellence fee for a long time, so we don't consider it a graduate program, but rather a professional program, so forgive me for not including it. The enrollment in our law school last year was down, as it was in many law schools across the country, and we recognize that this is a challenge for the legal profession and for law schools everywhere. Earlier this month, Vice President Teller met with Acting Dean Mark Cordes and his enrollment staff and his marketing staff to really look at what we could do now to impact next year's law class. There was a special dedicated study done by Lippman Hearn using the funds previously authorized by this board looking at the legal enrollment, law school enrollment, and those measures are being implemented at this time.
Thanks.
Other questions, discussion items? I want to clarify something, Trustee Strauss. You indicated that it would be good to check back with us. I want to make sure that we're clear. One of the issues I had with this a year ago was I didn't want to abdicate the authority to set the rates. So what we did instead was we set a range with the understanding that you would come back to us what you have, and that's what we have in front of us. I want to make sure that we retain this process of setting the rates each year in this fashion. I'm very comfortable with the way this has been presented. Is there any other discussion? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, the motion passes.
Agenda item 7N. The next few items are projects. As you know, as we've discussed in the current environment, we have pulled back on much of our spending on projects. And until our budget situation improves, we are only bringing to the board those projects that are the most critical, that will prevent much greater expenditures in the future, or that may have other funding sources other than our operating funds. And so this is the first one. This is the one I mentioned earlier during the Carl Committee. This is the East and West Heating Plant Boiler Assessment and Phase 1 Design Capital Project Approval. As we've discussed, our boilers have an average age of 51 years, which is roughly double the 24-year life expectancy. Due to the age of the overall steam generation system, components and boilers are experiencing significant and frequent breakdowns, many are in constant need of repair. So to avoid replacing them one at a time, when there may be other ways and better ways to approach this, we're recommending that a multi-year strategy be proposed, which will be initiated with an overall heating system assessment, which will help confirm, investigate, and prioritize system deficiencies, and evaluate engineering investment options to address these demands for the long term. A major objective of the assessment would be to determine the priority and sequence of renovation replacement investments to ensure the most cost, energy-efficient, and reliable heating system is put in place for the long term. The strategy to begin a multi-year phased project to first undertake an engineering assessment of the existing heating plants, boilers, piping, valves, and all associated equipment. That's what this request is for. And then, based on the recommendations, come back to the board for approval before we proceed to phase two, which would actually be the work required to bring our heating plant and system up to the operational level that we feel it needs to be. So the request is that the board approve a multi-year project to implement a heating system restoration replacement investment strategy. And the approval is sought to engage a qualifications-based selected architectural engineering firm to conduct an overall engineering assessment of the existing heating system infrastructure and the preparation of designs and specifications for the Phase 1 boiler replacement. We will separately request approval for the construction, which we estimate to be approximately $5 million once the system assessment is completed to show how this aligns with the overall strategy for renovation investments.
Are we approving $700,000?
You are approving $700,000 today, correct.
Thank
and
you.
Before we proceed with the construction project, we will bring this back to the board.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
There's a motion. Is there a second? There's a second. Is there discussion or questions? Trustee Muir?
Let me understand this a little bit better. So this is an outside engineering firm, and this phase one is a feasibility analysis or a situational audit of
where
we are.
That is correct.
And then subsequently thereof, there would be the implementation of that plan. Have you vetted anyone yet, or will this come later?
That would come later. This is merely the approval to proceed.
So are you going to anticipate that that it would be cost efficient to have the same firm do both the implementation and the assessment, or do you see this as two separate types of activities?
While that's a possibility, I do not see that as a requirement. It would depend on, once we have the initial work done, the bids as to who would either do the $5 million part of the project at least cost maintaining all standards and requirements. So while that may be a possibility, I don't see it as a requirement.
Yeah. And I guess my next question, as it relates to this analysis, do we have any in-house capabilities to be able to do a baseline and then a verification from another party?
Let me defer to Associate Vice President Heckman, who can talk more detail about this.
I guess the tone of my question relates more to being able to look at the cost efficiencies of the analysis part, because we're certainly going to have to put hard dollars into
Correct.
The implementation. And is there any way that we can help to mitigated either through negotiation with a firm by a sort of a design and build kind of thing, or do we have any internal expertise to mitigate some of that front-end phase one cost?
Yes, ma'am. Let me address it from this perspective. I think we have a lot of internal expertise on knowing our system. What we may be lacking is what's the art of the possible of what other institutions may be doing with a centralized heating system. You know, what is the art of the possible in the industry? We have an antiquated system right now. We know that very well, and we're keeping it running for a very long time. So I think the combination of bringing in that third party for that other expertise that we're lacking and combining it with what we do have in expertise should be sufficient to get us what we want. I hope that answers your question.
Well, thank you for your comments. Not necessarily on point. I think, but not to belabor it, I would leave it in the hands of leadership to try and be as judicious as possible on the phase one analysis portion, but also understanding that if we can identify ways in which to be more cost-efficient on phase two, then that's money well spent. So I leave it more in greater expert hands than mine, for sure. But it does concern me as we look to this, and it would seem to me that we would have some negotiation opportunities in regards to the project is large enough to be able to have some discussions.
Absolutely. We are looking at every opportunity to reduce costs and save resources, so we agree with you completely.
Yeah. Trustee Struthers.
So this request here is the first of several capital items we're going to look at here in a few minutes, and I'm striving again for some context. So in the idea of that this is $700,000, the next one is a million and $1.9 million or whatever, what should we expect for capital projects in this fiscal year? And is this a third of it, a half of it? And then maybe a little bit of context as to where those capital dollar expenditures were in prior years and maybe even where you might think they might be in the future.
Well, as I said before, we are only doing those projects that are the most critical or for which we have other sources of funding. As a part of this effort, while we have reduced our spending, we've also initiated a process whereby we are developing a capital project program, whereby we are creating a methodology to evaluate every project that we're made aware of. We are developing a criteria to prioritize those projects. We are developing a multi-year project list. And then we will identify funding available that we would associate with each of those projects. Our intent, as we move to a longer-term budget, would be to bring a multi-year project list to the board with associated funding for those projects for those particular years. So we're being much more deliberate about how we identify what projects we're going to do, ensure that they're appropriately prioritized and budgeted for those projects. As new programs were made aware of new projects, they would also be evaluated and put into the list at the appropriate level. So while we are holding back now for obviously budgetary reasons, while we're doing that, we are well in the process of putting together a capital project plan so where we can do this in a much more deliberate way and make best use of every resource dollar.
I'm grateful for the fact that you are embarking on that process, but I still didn't answer the question, right, of how many dollars are we going to spend in the fiscal 16 budget, and how much of is this all of it?
I would say as little as I possibly can till I get a budget. Okay. So we are holding back on. So I can't really answer that question.
How about this? How much did we spend last year in capital? Give me some perspective.
I want to say somewhere in the vicinity of $20 million.
Okay. And these would be the first projects for the 16?
We've had other projects that have been approved. In some cases, even though they've been approved, we're holding off on those projects.
Okay.
pending the receipt of a budget. We're being very careful as to which projects that we take forward. This year is kind of an anomaly because it's not really based on a budget. We literally are evaluating every single project, and if it's not critical, then it goes on the list to be deferred.
I think you get where I'm getting to, right, is that I respect the fact that we're being careful, but if someone were to ask me how careful are we being, I couldn't begin to put that in any. Well, we spent $20 million last year, and we're on pace to spend. I wouldn't, again, me or the other trustees would not have any idea. Is that $6 million? Is it $20 million?
I would say probably 25% of that.
Okay. That's what I'm searching for.
Yes.
Okay.
And I can.
The problem we have, too, is that we are dealing with 50-year-old equipment. So the maintenance part of it is a guessing game. And the replacement part of it is a guessing game. So I understand that problem. So, yeah, it's okay.
One of the challenges, because we haven't had any capital funding from the state for a number of years, many of our projects are done out of necessity with operational funds. Because those are the most critical funds currently, we are trying to avoid spending those funds unless it's absolutely necessary. I'll be happy to get with you and give you a more detailed analysis of our past spends and where we are and where we're going.
Thank you. The 25% gave me some real that's what I was searching for. Thank you.
Trustee Strauss.
I'd like to go back to Trustee Muir's question for a moment. I'm not an expert on the procurement regulations, but if you wanted to take a look at doing a combined contract that had some sort of a right to proceed to a phase two after the design, and we only approve the $700,000 limit today, are we precluding ourselves from having you at least explore the other options that might be on the table? If that's the case, because this isn't coming for full board action today, is that something that you could explore between now and when we have our regularly scheduled board meeting and this comes to us, so that if it turns out that there's additional expenditure authority needed, we would have the opportunity to consider it?
We would be happy to do that.
All right. Thank you.
Other questions, points that the committee wishes to make? Seeing none, I believe there's a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, the motion passes.
Agenda item 7-0, DuSable Hall Steam Vault Replacement. The existing underground concrete vault near DuSable Hall is at risk of collapse and requires replacement. The vault provides space and critical protection for valves, condensation piping, and main steam distribution piping, which connects and provides essential heating for four major classroom buildings to include DuSable, Revis, Watson, and Cole Hall, as well as faculty offices in Zuloff Hall. The old vault will be demolished and replaced with a reinforced precast concrete vault. The valves and steam piping will be replaced with new and properly reconnected, anchored, and insulated piping. Our recommendation is for the board to approve a project budget of $400,000 to contract with a QBS selected architectural engineering firm for preparation of plans and for approval to proceed with work orders and necessary contracts to complete the reconstruction work.
Is there a motion? There's a motion and a second. Trustee Strauss.
So the $400,000 amount here, is that designed to only cover the amount of the preparation of plans, specifications for bidding, or that's what you anticipate the entire project will cost?
That's what we anticipate the entire project will cost.
Thank you.
That was my question.
Yes.
So. It could have been written a little better.
Okay. Is there any other questions? Trustee Marshall.
For some of the projects and replacements, could we possibly in the future get some idea of the lifespan on some of these replacements?
Sure. We would be happy to do that.
Any other questions, comments? Seeing none, all those in favor? Any opposition? Seeing none, the motion passes.
Item 7P, New Residence Hall and Northern View Apartments, capital project approval. The housing and dining staff has operated a new resident hall facility since 2012. Currently, the facility is serving more than double the meals it was designed to serve. This experience has provided the staff insight into several changes that would improve overall operations and safety for the staff, as well as improving service and dining experience for students. Housing and Dining is requesting several improvements to the kitchen, dishwasher room, dining facility at New Residence Hall, and improvements for disability access at Northern View Apartments that are also part of this request. We currently have excess funds from the Series 2011 bonds that finance the initial project, and we would use these funds for this project. The total amount of the project is $1.9 million. This project does include a previously board-approved capital budget project, which was the new hall dish room upgrade in the amount of $210,000. We request the board approve the establishment of a budget not to exceed $1.9 million to complete this work.
Can I have a motion? There's a motion and a second. It was Marshall and Coleman. But we'll get you next time, Trustee Strauss. Are there any questions or comments on this item? Trustee Struthers.
Just curious on the fact that we're serving twice the number of meals as designed to serve originally.
And that is correct.
Yeah, I'm curious as to what drove that change.
I cannot speak to that. I think we have more students actually using the dining facility from other residence hall than we anticipated.
Better food at New Hall.
Right.
Yeah. Don't get that in the public record, right?
Perception.
Other questions, comments from the committee? All right. All those in favor? Any opposition? Seeing none, the motion passes.
Item 7Q, Gable Hall Roof Repair Capital Project Approval. The roof on Gable Hall has experienced numerous significant leaks and has been identified as a priority for replacement. Let me add, roofs are a priority. We are very concerned about the envelope of the facilities that we have. We believe that repairing roofs will help to preclude other more significant damage conducted by leaks and water that gets into the building. The roof is beyond the industry accepted 20-year life expectancy, is in very poor condition due to age and UV deterioration. The work will be phased in and completed as funding is available. It will only be initiated as the academic schedule allows, and most of the work will be completed in the summer months to minimize disruption. It will encompass three smaller areas of roof, and the estimated budget for phase one is $250,000. Phase two would be approximately $1 million. We are requesting the Board of Trustees approve a project budget of $1.25 million for the preparation of plans. And also to conduct the work, and it would be conducted over approximately three fiscal years.
Is there a motion? Motion by Trustee Boyce, second by Trustee Strauss. Is there any discussion? Trustee Muir.
Question. You said this work would be done over a three-year period. I take it the payment would be made over a three-year period?
That is correct also.
Okay, thank you.
Are there other questions, comments on this item? All those in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The motion passes.
Item 7R is a similar item. This is a roof replacement of Stevenson Towers A and B. These roofs have experienced numerous significant leaks and have been identified as a priority for replacement. The board previously approved roof repairs for Tower A as part of the 2015 non-appropriated capital budget, and conditions on Tower D have deteriorated faster than anticipated, driving the need to address both towers during the 2016 summer academic break. Both of these, the roofs on both these facilities are also well beyond the 20-year life expectancy and are currently in very poor condition. We will be using bond fund reserve funds for these projects and request the board approve a project budget of $625,000 to prepare for the design work as well as to complete the actual construction work required to replace the roofs.
Is there a motion? There's a motion from Trustee Boy. There's a second from Trustee Coleman. Is there any discussion or questions? Trustee Muir.
You know, one of the things that strikes me is that we're approving each of these capital expenditures as an individual line item, and each has a budget for the phase one or feasibility analysis and then move forward. Is there any merit to look at these in bulk, in volume, and extend these contracts or ask for RFPs based on multiple projects? So that I'm wondering if we could have a reduction in the expenditure by bundling these projects together.
I believe that certainly is something that we can take a look at. In the past, we've done individual projects, but for similar projects, we might be able to look at them collectively to where if it's a similar type of project that we might be able to do them at the same time.
I mean, I don't take issue that we're voting on these individually, but there's such similarity, sure. Especially when you go one after another of roof repair. If you've got the roof people here, they might as well do three buildings mm-hmm. instead of two buildings. And so I would take it that we could get some reduction in pricing if we were able to bundle these projects.
The challenge sometimes is some need repair and some needs replacement.
Right, but either way.
The point is that you can have one that covers three buildings right. rather than just one building at right. a time. You're right.
We would certainly be happy to look into that. I agree that if it makes sense and will reduce our cost, it would be something we would pursue.
And when you reduce the cost, let me know.
Okay.
I own an industrial park.
Trustee Strauss.
I think this is another good observation, but again, I don't know the procurement legal implications of this. So if you could check into this and it turns out that we need to have this slightly recast so that it's fully compliant and affords you the option to do bundled bidding, you have some time between now and when it comes to the full board for consideration.
We will do that.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, the motion passes.
Item 7S, the Lucinda Avenue Realignment Capital Project Approval. As you know, recently we opened Lucinda Avenue. As a part of that project, we were in receipt of a federal highway grant of $8.3 million. The Far West Road projects are now complete, and we have a remaining balance of $233,861 in the grant fund. But because of the nature of the grant, we are very limited as to what we can use that for. We actually explored two options, which included the project to align the new Lucinda extension, or the second was to repay Recreation Drive. They were submitted to the Federal Department of Transportation, and approval was granted for the Lucinda Avenue extension. The scope of the work is to provide the reconstruction of approximately 485-foot section of existing road extending west from Stadium Drive. The proposed new road work will provide a transition between the newly completed Lucinda Avenue extension and the existing Recreation Drive north of the Convention Center. For the project, total project costs are $550,000. Of that, a little less than half of that would be funded by the federal highway grant funds. This would cost the university $316,000. However, we do not use the federal money for this project. In all likelihood, we will not be able to use the money. And so, therefore, we are requesting that the Board of Trustees approve a project budget of $550,000 to design and prepare construction documents and fund the phase construction project over two or more fiscal years to implement the project as the funds become available.
Motion first. Trustee Strauss, is there a second?
No.
Okay, that's right.
So moved.
Trustee Struthers has made the motion. Is there a second? There's a second by Trustee Boy. Is there a comment? Trustee Strauss.
I'm all for avoiding having roofs leak and vaults be demolished through old age. This sounds to me more like making sure that we're able to spend the federal money than it is something that we actually have to have. I can't believe that on the list of all things that we could spend $316,000 for, straightening that creek in this road is at the top of the list. So I'm not going to vote for this one, and that's the reason why.
Trustee Struthers.
I'm just trying to understand the motion a little bit. The first piece I got, the second piece, that the university requests approval to establish funds construction sequence over two or more fiscal periods as funding becomes available. I didn't get that piece. Was $550 sufficient to do the entire job? And if so, then why is the statement in there as funds become available?
Those would be our operating funds. Once we get through the design work, then we would find the appropriate funding to complete the project.
So what we're you're suggesting that the total cost of the project will exceed $550?
The total cost of the project is $550.
And it looks like we have about $550.
Well,
we have
$233,000 that we currently have on hand from the federal grant. The university would have to provide $316,000 to finish the project. So that would be our piece of the project.
So that's not available now? The statement says funding becomes available. That's a piece I'm missing.
These are bond funds. The funds are available.
So we could strike that?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes,
I'm going to put on my fake highway engineering hat for a second. So when that road was built, the Lucinda extension, it comes to a point out there that's offset from the road that goes off the rest way out to the Convocation Center. So it creates a couple problems. If you get two buses coming at the same time, it's a tight corner there. And then if you've driven out there, there's dips and base issues with the road itself. So it needs repair because of that reason. So this would make it a safer chicane that would go through there for large vehicles trying to get around that corner. So I think there is some real highway engineering reason or safety reason to do it, but I understand Mark's point as well that I guess the nice thing is we get a 40% payment of the, or yeah, about a discount, so to speak, on the work to be done. And if we don't, we would have to come back at a later date and spend that money out of our own funds.
So my question is, what's there now? So you just, I mean, is what's there now functioning as a road?
Tom, do you want to talk about it at all? Yes, the answer is yes, in short. Yes, there's a road. It's just offset.
We have bond funding.
Thank you. The offset in the road is approximately 30 feet, and there's stop signs now at the intersection, so all the traffic comes to a stop, and in order to negotiate or go through the intersection, then a person would jog that 30 feet to connect with this the street that's called Convocation or Recreation Drive. The alignment of the new road was kept with the alignment of Lucinda through the rest of the campus. So as Lucinda comes across Annie Glidden, it's straight and goes straight out to the west side of campus, but Recreation Drive is offset to the north by about 35 feet, 30 to 35 feet.
Trustee Lanier.
I just want to be clear about something, and it's not the merits of this, all right, because it's not for me to know what the merits of this is one way or the other. I'm understanding the $233 is federal highway grant funds. That's what you've said, and that's available for this purpose only, I would take it, or similar type.
Correct.
But what confuses me is the bond series 2010 funds. Is that money that can be used only for this type of activity? Or is this money that could be used for other types of activities within our operations?
It can only be used for this type of activity.
It can only be used for road...
roads, parking lots, those kinds of projects.
Okay. And so, obviously, when you've made this recommendation to the board, you've judiciously looked at how else to use this, these two funds of money, the bonds and the mm-hmm. highway grant, and you're saying that this is the priority that you've come up with?
And part of the rationale is, as President Baker said, this allows us to do a project at 60% of what it would normally have cost. It may not be the number one project that we have next on the list, but otherwise we will lose the federal funds because we cannot use right. we cannot use them for anything.
I get
else.
All that. Mm-hmm. I want to be more specific with my question. I understand use it mm-hmm. or lose it and sure. all of this. Are you saying to us that as you looked at any like projects, so any parking lots or parking decks or anything else for which this money would be suitable to use, that your recommendation to this board is that this is the project that you recommend?
Yes.
Okay.
Is there a safety issue
involved? Tom, I don't know if there is it a is there a safety issue?
So we created an intersection where there was none before. So in order to mitigate and improve safety, we put in stop signs. And so it's a four-way stop right now. And as far as I know, we've had no accidents since we've opened. We opened just a few months ago in November. So it has become very popular. It's very popular with the students. It gets them right out to the Convocation Center where they want to go. And it is actually very popular as they walk. There's a lot of people that walk out to Stevenson and walk onto campus as well. So,
go ahead, Trustee Marshall.
Is there a runner-up project behind this one?
I don't believe we've established another project at this point in time that we would use those funds for. I think there may be a time limit on the funds. I'm not sure.
The only indication from IDOT was that these funds have been sitting for approximately 5 years now since the Far West roads were completed. And usually if they sit that long and are not used, the federal government looks to bring them back into their budget. So eventually they would be swept back if we don't use them.
...2010 bond funds, because my understanding is this has been represented to us as being a source of funds that is available for projects related to the improvement of the residence halls. That's what the bond series was taken out for. So this could technically be used for the Home Student Center. It could be used for Neptune Hall, isn't that correct? Because I don't think Trustee Muir's question was precisely answered.
I believe that's correct.
All right, so it can be used for other things. Other things that are...
That is
okay,
other capital projects.
I don't think that was the answer that I thought I had received. So my question was, on the bonds, are the bonds dedicated to... this type of a capital project which relates to roads, and I thought your answer was yes.
It is.
And then you said parking lots. You also said parking lots. And
in general, when we borrow the money for the bonds, they have to go to some entity that allows us to raise revenue to pay off the bonds. When we borrowed the money for the most part, the projects. Some of the funds also went to parking lots and other things associated with our ability to charge revenue or projects that were closely associated to the auxiliary services, which is basically what those bonds fall into. We can use these funds for those purposes. They can be used for this, as I believe this was associated with the Stevenson project and the development of the road, which facilitates me students and others moving to and from the Convo Center, and hope to open that up and provide more access there as well, and to the residence hall. But you do have some flexibility. They cannot, however, be used for operating funds or payroll or all those kinds of things. But they can be used typically for capital types of projects associated with auxiliary services.
And then I think my follow-up question was consistently the same. In your best estimate, as the chief financial officer in concert with the president, you've identified in presenting to this board that the best use of these funds that are available to this university is on this project.
Yes. Our concern is that we would lose, one, we would be able to do a project at 60% the cost. If not, we would lose roughly $250,000 that we would no longer have available, and in which case this project would not be probably completed for a considerable period of time.
Okay. Trustee Coleman.
Quick question. When we raised the Douglas Hall, we used the bond fund to create the original street or the original roll or the Federal Highway Fund?
I believe we did.
We used a bond fund. And so really what we did was we created a new road, and now we've got somewhat of a bottleneck or an S-curve or potential hazard. We've got a lot of people, volumes or thousands of people that are coming to and from. It sounds like we need to make sure it's a clear, open, easy access so we don't create problems in that area.
The truth is this probably should have been done as part of the original project. This was kind of left off the list. If we had to go back and do it all over again, it would have been included in the first place.
One other safety concern is that episodically, this is an extraordinarily high-density area. At the end of a football game or a basketball game, you've got streams of traffic coming out, and then you've got this offset road where people are jockeying around, so it does create some safety concerns in those situations as well.
Trustee Strzok.
Yeah, will a stop sign be eliminated with the straightening? Will it become a two-way stop as opposed to a four?
We haven't studied that yet.
So. Good question. I think that'd be a big benefit of it. I just imagine that the traffic is a mess. So many of the places around there.
I'm assuming about safety viewpoint that there has to be an improvement. Because that's just an accident way to happen, the upper ball game. I've seen it.
Yeah.
Any other questions or comments by the committee members on this item? All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Okay. Let the record reflect that Trustee Strauss has voted no. We're done with these items. And in the interest of the time that we're dealing with, if we could, unless there are questions on the information items, up until the quarterly financial summary, which I think we should spend some time on, I'd like to move to 8C if that's okay with the committee. Seeing no objection, let's move to 8C if we can. Dr. Phillips, this is your item.
Item 8C. This is a new informational item that we plan to provide the board on a quarterly basis. What we have done is provided a current financial statement, cash flow statement, regarding all of our funds by category, revenues and expenses, year to date, year to year. So on the first part of the item is a listing of all the fund codes. So it's very clear what each of the funds consists of, what it can or cannot be used for. Some are restricted, some are not. But if you go to page 2, the first column is the 02 and 04 funds. This is the appropriated funds and the income funds. At the top, you have the revenues. At the bottom, you have the expenses. You will notice that there's a significant decrease in revenues from last year to year this year. That reflects the lack of state funding. The second column, Fund 29, are bond revenues. Uh, which is the, as I said, the 29 fund. The next column are the local funds, the 41 and 55. These are auxiliary enterprise funds and foundation support funds. Fund 41 are also auxiliary service funds. I will point out, if you look on page 3 at the 41 and 55 funds, you'll notice at the bottom we're showing a deficit of roughly $7 million. If you look up to scholarships and award, there's essentially a one-for-one match. In the past, a large portion of our scholarships were not included in the budget. We're in the process of addressing that situation. We have an institutional aid task force looking at that. We expect that that will be rectified going forward. If you go to the next page, we have added grants and the total of all the funds. Now, this basically does not count state funding, which we have not received. That is if you look at the net revenues and expenses year to date, you will see we are considerably lower in terms of revenue than we were last year. The very last column where it says FY16 budget, at the bottom, we started off the year with an expenditure of 419,000 from last year and a budget of $394 million, which was what was approved by the board. However, if you look at total expenses, let's see here. If you take the grants out, you will find that so far this year, we have actually reduced our actual expenses by roughly $15 million. If you go to the last page, we added, we basically said what our funding streams would look like had we had the governor's budget, the original budget recommendation, which was instead of $91 million, we would have received $63 million. And so this is what the numbers would look like if we actually had received the funding year to date, and that would have been incorporated into the budget. If you look at the budget item that's in the book on page 38, this was before we added the grants back into the program, and the grants essentially are one for one. We receive the revenue. It is spent for those purposes, and that which isn't spent goes back. If you look total all funds, 15 to 16, you will see under total expenses, last year at this time, we had spent $190 million. This year at this point in time, we've spent $174, which is a reduction in spending so far this year of approximately $16 million. We anticipate if we stay on track, by the end of the year, we will reduce spending at least another $16 million, which will actually keep us under budget for the rest of the year, and that's at the $394 million spending level.
All right, this is an information item. No motion is required. This is a time for the committee to ask any questions or make any comments. Trustee Struthers.
I would just add that this begins to surely build some context for certain. I think your last comment, as to what we expect for the remaining 5 months is important, and a forecast drop-in would be valuable. And then, of course, context from prior years. We have 1 year here, but maybe a few more. So some fine-tuning on this, but it does, for the first time, I think, that makes it very clear that our expenditures are down $15 million for the first half of the year, and you expect another $16 million.
Correct.
Which then, given even the reduced state funding, if we get that, right, would actually put us in the black for the year if those things...
Correct.
On.
A couple of points I'd like to make is, so far this year, we've received 78% of our revenue, or would have. We've only spent 48% of our expenses, which is very good. The second thing is, the last column, you'll see that there's a $25 million deficit between what we spent last year and what our budget is for this year. So we had a shortfall at the beginning of the year of $25 million. We are on track to reduce our spending by over $30 million, which gets us well under our budgeted number. Last year, our budget was $425 million. This year, it's $394, and we should stay under that number. That's at a 30% cut from the governor. Anything less than that puts us in a much better position. We're also always very conservative with our revenue projections. It's very likely that our revenue will actually be higher than $394.
Last comment would be is that we've had conversations, of course, with respect to a balance sheet.
Correct.
And that ultimately gets then to our assessment of liquidity.
Correct.
And staying power and how long we of reserves we have available in spite of the state budget.
Correct. This is the first time we've done this. We anticipate changes, adjustments, improvements to this. And as we said, we anticipate also augmenting this with additional financial documents going forward, and these are items that we present to the board. I will also say that we recently have initiated a budget review process. We are doing a much better job defining a very clear budget process where divisions have very specific budgets. Actual funding, those numbers actually roll up into these numbers. So we are all operating off of the exact same numbers from the Board of Trustees all the way down to the budget manager level. So as we will improve this, we will refine this, we will work with the board to put this in terms that provide you with the information that you're looking for. And we certainly anticipate augmenting this going forward.
Thank you.
Trustee Muir.
I'd like to commend you, Dr. Phillips, the president, and the provost for your continued expression, in particular today through all the committees, of a heightened sense of fiscal responsibility, and not only on the cost-cutting side, which is always important, but I think that we've expressed in other committees ways in which we can enhance revenue. And organizations are not successful simply by cutting costs. Organizations are successful by identifying revenue and then balancing budgets. So I was struck today in particular by a very renewed commitment and an expressed commitment on fiscal responsibility and transparency, as you've identified in this. So thank you.
I've had several discussions with Moody's recently. I anticipate we may see something next week. In the conversations, they indicated that we were, in fact, doing all the right things, that all the steps we have taken from a transparent, rigid budget process that we're trying to put into place where everyone knows exactly where we are and what we have to work with, program prioritization, process reengineering, pushing out five-year budgets. All of these things are exactly all the things that need to be done. And the individual at Moody's stated that based on all of our actions, when we do get through the budget impasse, that we will be very well positioned going forward to achieve even greater success, and that's our goal.
And the comment that I would like to make, though, is that these are all important steps, but we have to continue to be extraordinarily diligent. And I know that's almost rhetorical, but although we've done all those things, we need to retain that attentiveness to fiscal responsibility.
Absolutely.
Okay. Any other comments? Discussion, interest of the committee, seeing none. In the category of other matters, I would just ask Dr. Phillips, if you could introduce us to your new AVP of Finance and Budget. And I don't believe this committee has formally met John Heckman, although he spoke today.
I actually have two relatively new associate VPs. One is John Heckman, who's the associate VP for facilities. The other is Larry Pinkleton, who's the associate VP for budget and finance. We are very, very fortunate to have them both here. They certainly have made my life much easier. Larry spent most of his day today working to try to get a number of budget forms to our friends in Springfield today, but they are largely responsible for all of the processes and the procedures and the structure and the fact that we're developing capital plans, capital renewal plans. We have a coherent budget process that we're putting in place that's transparent. And so they are largely responsible for all the good work that's been over the last few months to get us in the position where we are. So I want to thank them and their staffs as well.
Thank you, and welcome to Northern formally. On behalf of the committee, I would also like to thank the members of the University Advisory Committee, Greg Long, Rebecca Shortbridge, and Holly Nicholson, Brett Coriel for speaking to us, and Tom Robleski as well. Thank you very much. And as I always like to say, thank you to Media Services and Food Services and the people that make this meeting possible. The next meeting of this committee is May 18th? 19th. May I have a motion to adjourn? There's a motion. Is there a second? Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, the meeting's adjourned. I assume the next meeting will begin
10
in 10 minutes. 10
minutes.